football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. It's 6.30 on a Thursday evening, and it's an hour of your calls and football chat centering on Liverpool and Everton, of course. We had that caller on Monday night who came in and absolutely tore apart Romelu Lukaku. And look what happened with Rom on Monday night, Sharpie.
Well, as I said, you know, he's got all the attributes you want. He scored a hat-trick. Listen, great result for Everton. They were poor. Second half was a big improvement from Everton. But he's still got to score the goals. Yeah. You know, and what he got was he got delivery into the box on two occasions. You know, got an end of them, which is what you want your centre-forward to do. And his third goal was a good finish. So, listen, every player has got faults. Well, shadow every, but I keep going back to the two things: his age and his goal scoring record. It's unbelievable for a kid that age to have a goal scoring record like that. So there's loads and loads more to come. What I think happens now is under Koeman, John, I think they're getting crosses into the box. Under Martinez, it was tippy tappy along midfield, side to side. He was getting frustrated. He was coming deeper and deeper for the ball, going away from the dangerous areas. Now he's got Bolasie in the side, and he's been told, listen, once he's on the ball and the wing, get in the box, and he'll put crosses in. And he delivered in
Monday.
He'd
done that at Southampton with Pelle, didn't he? And,
yeah.
And long, you know. Yeah. And I thought what typified was the way Bolasie got to the byline. And it's like when we played, you don't even have to look up. You expect your striker to be far postish, and you hang it up there. Go on, have a little bit of that. That was a fantastic cross, and you know, and it was an easy chance. To be fair, he couldn't really miss, but you know, he scored the three goals. But to be fair, to a few corners, said they fancied him to get a brace and fancied him to score.
Yeah, they all
quite fancied
him
to score, didn't he? Mm. So I hope they got onto it. The bookies took a bit of a pummeling there, to be quite honest.
What was it? 11 game drought or something?
Yeah, 11
to 12
game.
But do you know, I used to do Sharpie, and I don't know whether you did it. Like, I was always told to be by Len Ashurst. He said, if you're going to be the best, you've always scored one and two games. So if you get a drought, you don't score in five or six games, you got to say, well, I've got to bang a couple in to keep it up, to keep my momentum up, to keep me averages right, and have pride over it. Mm. And what he's done that in one foul swoop.
Yeah,
you know, straight away the season, he's top of the charts. With like in 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, he's got himself right back up there.
I used to get my hair cut. I did, honestly.
I used to change my boots.
Yeah, I used to get my hair cut. If I was having a bad spell, I'd think, oh, I'm going to change this. And my sister-in-law's a hairdresser up in Glasgow, and I used to go up to get her to cut my hair.
And you used to go all the way up to Glasgow?
She cut my hair and come down the score.
What?
Honestly,
you used to drive up to Glasgow?
Just mental. Yeah,
you know,
just mental.
How many times it works? It's stupid, you know, because it's a mental thing. I used to go phone Nike up, when I was sponsored by them, you know, new pair of boots, you know, and it always seemed to work, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the one game you got at the next game. Yeah.
That's not quite as stupid as Sharpie's haircut.
Well,
though,
I would go to Scotland.
Southport. He didn't go to Southport.
He went to
Scotland.
No.
And it worked.
It did. And it was only because my sister-in-law.
You got a number one, did you?
No, my sister-in-law used to cut my hair. You know, if I went down here and somebody cut my hair, it wouldn't be the same.
Didn't
work. So that was it.
Very good. Lukaku back on form. You might want to say on that one. Ross Barkley not on form.
No.
At the moment. He might get a couple of callers talking about this tonight. How does Ross solve his? I mean, is that the same situation? Does Ross
I think Ross needs an arm round his shoulder. You know, I think it's been a difficult time for him, left out the England squad. He needs to get his head down now and work extremely hard. This manager isn't a fool, you know, and he'll speak to him and he'll say, listen, you've got to produce for him. If you don't, you won't be in the side. You know, I think Martinez was a big lover of Ross and continues to pick him and play him. I don't think necessarily this guy will. I think if he doesn't perform, you know, he'll be out. So it's a big season for Ross again. He's got all the attributes, but he needs to get consistency in his game. And if he gets that, he'll be fine. It's something he's got to work hard at.
The manager's been very vocal about this. Mm. Now, do you want, as a player, your manager to be publicly saying he's not playing well enough? If that's you as a player, how damaging is that? Or actually, does it work the other way?
Prefer it not to happen, would you? But if it does happen, you've got to deal with it. The problem he's got is a young kid. That's the first time it's probably happened to him in all his career. And it seems to be affecting him. You know, it's the first problem he's got. And he's got to... As Charby said, he's got to be nurtured through it. Where he's probably had a bit of a kick up the backside, but as you said, he might need a little arm around his shoulder, you know, to get him alive and kicking again.
There's one person that can change it, and it's him. It's Ross. You know, Ross needs to focus totally on getting in the Everton side, because there's talk of him maybe not playing at the weekend. It's to focus and getting back to form. Again, the thing that drives me nuts at times, not just with Ross, but midfield players, they don't shoot enough. They don't try. You know, as a midfield player, you were told, you look at the goal-scoring midfielders you played with, go and take chances. Yeah. You know, obviously, there's going to be opportunities for shots outside the bottom, looking at Jan and people like that, and Ray Houghton and all that. You got on the score sheet all the time. They don't score enough goals for me. Ross has got to add that to his game as well. You know, and he's got the ability to, but he just needs a little dip in confidence. He needs to get that back.
Okay. See, things were going great for him, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the Euros and such, and you know, and then Allardyce didn't put him in the squad, and you know, this has happened. He won't play the next game because he can't play, because he can't change the second half side, to be quite honest. But he's going to have to try and deal with it as best he can. He's such a great talent, the lad. And Sharpie's right. He sees more of him than I do. But he needs to just knuckle down, really work hard in training, and it'll come back.
I would imagine our Everton callers will want to focus on that tonight. 6:36 Radio City Legends. Let's get to the phone lines straight away. I'm going to start in Garston with Stuart, who's an Everton
fan.
Hello
there.
Welcome to Legends, Stuart.
Good evening.
Hi, Stuart.
All right, Yavi. How are you, mate?
I'm fine. Yeah, fine, Paul.
But listen, Koeman, this thing which is impressing me most is that he's brought this guy from Aston Villa for £7 million. And he is a massive difference to our whole thinking now. We've now got a midfielder, box-to-box, that can play a bit. McCarthy was just a stopper. He was just a negative player. This guy's got everything. Will we keep him? Even after four games, and the guy from Leicester, it was now our boss saying he wanted him at Leicester. Is he going to be our next big sell?
Our next big sell? It's insanely
a little bit negative, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know Everton, mate. I've been watching Everton for 51 years, and I'm 55, right? And you know that we sell our best players at big bucks if we can.
Hold on a minute. Right, listen, I'll give you one thing for sure. At the end of the day, it's the player that decides that. You know, we could want to keep him as much as we possibly can, but come the end of the day, the player has the final say. All I'll say now is that the manager is trying to get a team together. He will try and keep Idrissa Gueye. He's part and parcel of his team, so I don't think that's going to happen. Listen, it's early days for the boy as well, in terms of he's started off really, really well. Long way to go with him and his contract and everything else. But I think we're touching on a negative.
You know what? Can I just say, because people, Liverpool fans say to me about Mane, saying he's had the same sort of start as Gueye has for Everton. He's setting the fans are like the made up. It's great. Oh, we'll be able to keep him for long. Just enjoy him while he's here, and hopefully he'll endear the club. He'll endear Merseyside, and he'll stay. You know, at the end of the day, you know, just don't look into it too early. You know, they look very, very good players, and the two of them.
I haven't heard that chat about Mane, but I think it's just really disappointing that both sets
fantastic.
Of fans.
Fantastic, you know, we won't be able to keep him. He'll be gone next. And go, come on, do me a favour. You know, but hey, probably because, and the caller's right, you know, it's happened so many times, years gone by, when we get both sides in Liverpool now, and you get great players.
You can't
unfortunately, you can't stop them, can you?
Suarez is a prime example. You know, Suarez is a prime example. They want to keep him. But if somebody wants him badly enough and is willing to pay the money, you can't stop him.
But like John Stones.
They weren't saying that after just four games, were they? I mean,
no,
Stones didn't say this. And Aldo said the same thing.
Go on, Stu.
Stones only played for like two seasons, didn't he? So, you know, easy at the end. How long was Kante at Leicester for? Tell me that.
Not long, two seasons.
Months? 12 months or two seasons?
Two seasons.
And he's gone for 30-odd million quid. And this reading, our director of football said that he wanted to sign him for Leicester before he bought Kane. So he obviously thinks he's very good. I'm assuming he's coming and said to Koeman, look, we need to get this guy quickly from Aston Villa. Because at £7 million in football terms, that's a free, isn't it?
Sure, did you fancy him when he was at Villa?
I never watched him. I asked a mate of mine, a big Villa fan, he said he was their best player. I didn't watch Villa because they were so poor. And when they come to us and we won 4-0, it was embarrassing. They were that bad, it was a joke. So you couldn't really tell. He was a good player in a bad side, which is which is hard to watch, you know what I mean? But now that I've watched him, I have myself, we've got a guy here that can actually box the boxer. And he can't score goals. He hasn't scored it in his life, I don't think, which could be a little bit of a downfall. But as a footballer, he runs round for 90 minutes. He's creative. He made the first goal, which is a massive thing to do, make the first goal. And I think to myself, I know Everton, so do you. And these things happen very quickly with us.
Stuart, I was feeling very happy after the 3-0 win against London. Now I'm telling you what. Dear me.
I'll tell you what, though. Hey, if Liverpool win tomorrow, we go second, you know, bang on. We go second without kicking the ball, shall we?
So do you want us to win this year, yeah?
No, never. You know me, that couldn't happen ever in my life.
Nice one, Stuart. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay.
Take care. Do you not think he sounds like Roy Evans, Stuart?
No.
He sounds just like Roy Evans on the line then. No, he's depressing you already, isn't he, Sharpie? Yeah. Okay, anyone else wants to ring up and depress Sharpie? 0151 472 0967. Some early comments on the social media. Colin Speak, nice to see us scoring old-fashioned goals from crosses, Sharpie. Getting the ball wide is a long-forgotten art.
Well, it is, and I said to somebody the other day, I did an interview with somebody the other day, and I just said, but Everton over the years was all about getting the ball wide and getting the ball into a tall centre-forward in the box, getting on the end of crosses. Go back, Dixie Dean, Joe Royal, Tommy Lawton, myself, Duncan Ferguson, Andy Gray, whatever, you know, all the Bob Latchford. Under Martinez, that kind of, it's the whole philosophy of the football club changed, and it was into this
through
possession,
the middle,
through keep passing, passing, passing. Well, listen, first year was brilliant. After that, it went a little bit stale. But now, with the signing of Bolasie, and listen, it was a lot of money to spend on him, but if he continues to create chances like he did the other night for Lukaku, it's money well spent, and it's back to what, as a centre-forward, you want crosses in the box, you want to get into positions. Lukaku, for all his faults and all the stick he took last year, I felt sorry for him because they didn't play to his strengths, but this guy looks as if he's playing to his strengths.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Liverpool taking on Diego Costa and David Luiz tomorrow night. Let's talk with the Red, Dave in Bromborough. Evening, Dave.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
There's no way some Waikiki Beach tonight, by the way.
I'm sad for you.
Sugar,
hold on, you're back in Liverpool then, yeah?
Come on, Dave. Sort your life out. Yeah, go on. Dave.
He's been on the phone in the car. And he's been pulled over.
Yeah, can you hear us, Dave?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Go on, make your point then.
Right. Well, that match at the weekend, Leicester. What an absolutely fantastic display. We'll have to build a new stand every week, won't we?
Well, it did help. But yeah, it did help a little bit, I think. You know, it got everyone in the right frame of mind, I think.
They're in the right frame of mind, John, and they're firing on all cylinders, I think. It's just an absolutely wonderful display.
But what about?
I'm not saying anything about Balotelli.
Yeah, and what about the one coming up, Chelsea?
Dave, have you got a delay on your phone or something?
No.
Well, what about Chelsea then? That's the next game up. What's happening then? Do you fancy yourselves?
Say again, boys. Sorry.
Do you fancy us tomorrow, Dave? Yeah. It's gone.
I think we've lost Dave. Yeah, I think we've lost Dave there. I'm not sure.
I think we've lost him. Yeah.
John's praying. Listen, get him back.
Tomorrow, John as well, and no John Terry, which was a big loss for David Luiz is in, which is a great bonus for Liverpool again.
Well, if he plays centre-back, Jesus, he's centre-mid for me. He does go astray. He's got great in the ball, you know, but, you know, your centre-backs, you want to be able to defend, and he has got flaws in his defence.
Why have they bought him back again?
He went for 50 million. How on earth, you know, Paris and James can buy him for 50-odd million? And it's just something's not right there with me. And then he goes back for theatre. Something just doesn't add up to me.
Well, we talked about it before, didn't we? We talked about the Conte and his three central defenders for Italy. With three centre-backs, solid, dependable, no frills. Make sure you defend first and foremost. He's gone for this guy who takes chances every game.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best defender in the world. And he played him in midfield. I don't think he's the best midfield player either. And I think it's bad piece of business for Chelsea, and I think Liverpool, the way they high press, I think they'll catch him out tomorrow.
I think there's goals. I think there'll be goals from both sides tomorrow. Really, I think we'll score, but unfortunately, I think no damage as well.
Okay, score draw perhaps. It's 7:15. Radio City Talk. This is the Legends. More of your calls next. We'll do some thumbs up and thumbs down, and we've got look who's scoring back.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 7:10 on a Thursday evening, this is the Radio City Legends. We'll get back to the phone lines very shortly. Let's do some thumbs up and thumbs down from the week. At the moment, just let me tell you the live score involving Manchester United, Feyenoord 0, Manchester United 0 at half-time in the Europa League.
Doing well to Oldham, man, you there. My thumbs up, I have to say, you said Everton's 200 grand to Sunderland. Yeah. Different class. Love it. Brilliant, that was excellent. That great, you know, publicity for Everton, quite rightly so, marketing, whatever, it's nothing to do with that, but brilliant. I love that.
That was a Bill Kenwright gesture, wasn't it? Yeah. By all accounts,
yes. Loved it.
Well done, because obviously it saw that little kid, Bradley, the fundraising go to 700 grand within a day, fabulous. And now he can go to the States for life saving treatment.
Absolutely fabulous. You know, it was very emotional for the parents actually on the night when the little boy leading them out. You know, but I thought it was a fantastic gesture from the chairman.
Not many clubs have done that.
You know, and you look in this day and age, and you know the salaries kicking about, and I was speaking to somebody the other day about it. And listen, I'm not no way am I saying it, but Sunderland players, there's at least 20 of them in the squad. Could have put.
£10,000
each.
Yeah. And that could be applicable for most football teams in the Premier League, couldn't it?
That's what I'm saying. And listen, there's so many. Situation is very similar to that, and it's really sad kind of thing. But I thought it was a fantastic gesture, so I think I'd go along with John with that one. Thumbs up.
Excellent. Call now. 0151. That's the wrong. I didn't mean to press that. This was your thumbs up.
I think he's got it right.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I love it.
I don't think I got it right. What's the thumbs down from the week?
Thumbs down.
Celtic?
Celtic
getting walloped.
Well, I watched that game, and my brother-in-law was over there. Listen, nobody expected them to win over there, let's be honest. But it was lambs to the slaughter. You know, they'll say they missed a penalty when it was one, they were 1-0 down. Poor penalty from the boy, Moussa Dembele. But it was like men against boys. And Celtic, you know, Brendan Rodgers came out and said, you know, he wasn't too disappointed, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, he spoke of his pride.
Yeah,
he
but said... then they spoke to the players and they spoke to Scott Brown, they spoke to somebody else, and they were ashamed. He said, we should be ashamed to concede seven goals.
Would you be?
Brendan, I know a lot of lads who support Celtic. I'm a, you know, a closet Celtic fan, always have been in many ways. But Brendan's tactics in Europe, not for me. And I did warn them that, you know, they could struggle. You know, he doesn't. Even Liverpool, his tactics were awful right the way through. But my thumbs down, watched Manchester City a little bit of other games. Yesterday was 30,000. At your first Champions League game. I know it got postponed the night before, but you'd fill it. Liverpool would fill it. Well, Everton would fill it.
Both our clubs, it would be full straight away, wouldn't it?
But I spoke to somebody today, and this is an interesting one. I hope somebody can tell if I'm right or wrong here and it's the right information. But somebody said they'd been on holiday. They were going to miss the first game. They were Man City season ticket holders. So they missed the game. Okay, it was postponed. But he went the following night to try and get a ticket to get into the game, and they wouldn't sell my ticket.
Oh, dear me.
Because they hadn't bought a ticket for the original game.
Oh, dear me.
So, oh, right. So yeah. unless you were willing to come on the two night, nights in succession.
Which I find really, really strange, knowing full well that they'd only sold 31,000 tickets.
Watching on the telly, it looked awful, because when I watched the Champions League, every ground is packed. Even in the qualification groups, they looked nearly... Well, you very, very rarely see... Especially with the English teams, it's always rammed. Maybe there's something to do with maybe the night before, but I don't know. It just looked terrible.
Maybe it's their continued protest at the UEFA Champions League theme. Do you not remember UEFA told them off because the fans booed the Champions League?
Yeah, but why are they booing them? Why are they actually booing the
Champions? Why are they booing it?
I haven't got a clue.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a war of words.
Sure, someone's going to come in the line and tell us.
I'll tell you what. Let's get back to the lines. Steve, Everton fan in Waterloo. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Steve.
Evening, gents.
Hello, Steve.
All right, Graham.
Yeah, mate.
John.
Hi, mate.
I was just listening before, Graham. I thought that the old guy that was on before, although He had a couple of points. He was putting a bit of a an early dampeners on the season, I think.
Unbelievable.
I think we've started off really, really well. Okay, we've had a good run of the fixtures this season. We've had a good start to the season. I think the next couple of games could set us in good stead, obviously, towards Christmas. But I just like the way that Koeman's got them well drilled, and we just look a completely different side from last year, Graeme.
Yeah, I think he sees football in a different way, you know, to the previous manager. The style of football has changed. I think if I'm honest, he's a bit more old school in the fact that he wants to get the ball forward a little bit quicker. I think Roberto was very slow in possession, and at times it was really, really boring stuff. But
yeah,
I think this guy is getting the ball forward earlier. And as I said to the boys before, Lukaku now is getting himself in positions in the box that he wasn't doing for the last two seasons, because he was becoming frustrated, and he was coming deeper and deeper for the ball and away from dangerous areas. So I think this guy has certainly got them playing to the way he wants. He's already said that they need to get fitter. So it's a good start, you know. But I always say, you know, people say, oh, it's a good start on paper. You've got to win the games and pick the points up, and that's a good thing. We're doing that now.
Of course, Graham, but what's good to see is that obviously when Lukaku was playing underneath Martinez, it was too tick-a-tack, and he could be screaming sometimes, you know, for the forward ball, because you could see Lukaku likes to get off the last man. He likes to run off the shoulder.
Yep.
And I think this season, it proves that for the third goal that we scored against Sunderland. It was a great goal, and he was away as soon as the ball went through to him.
Yep.
You know, and that's the way that he likes to play.
Mm.
And it's great now that we've got Blassie on the wing as well, because he looked great as well, you know.
Yeah.
De La Feu, when he came on, I think it was a bit of a masterstroke from the from the manager to take Barkley off. I think he needs it.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of ways that it can go for him. Now he needs to ride the knuckle down, like John said earlier, and get stuck in a little bit more, or he can regress. And I think that if he takes it on board of what the manager's saying, I think that he'll come out on the other side, to be fair.
Yeah. I think, I'll be honest with you, I thought, you know, the substitution at half-time, again, he's not scared to make a change. He makes a change, and I thought that was the best I'd seen De La Feu in a while. You know, I haven't been particularly impressed with him, but I thought when he came on, he gave us something different. You know, he could have scored, his control let him down, but he looked as if he was up for the fight. I think he needed to get fitter. He looked a bit fitter on the other night as well. So, you know, it's important, because Bolasie, we'll miss Bolasie when he goes to the African Cup of Nations. So it's so important that people are ready to take his place, you know. And if it's De La Feu on that side, it's so what he's got now, he's got healthy competition for places. And as you said, the games coming up are games on paper that you should take points.
The games that
from.
We can win, Graeme, aren't they? You know, the Middlesbrough, you know, the games that we can take.
Yeah.
And I think over the next couple of weeks, I think if we're able to get, because always at the start of the season, we're always pretty slow, and it takes up until round about November's time before we usually start getting up any kind of other steam.
Yeah.
And now that we're getting a couple of points on the board, there's a good chance that we can kick on slightly as well.
Spot on.
Brilliant call. Thank you very much indeed, Steve.
Cheers,
have a great night.
Cheers, Paul.
Just a very quickie on that. He mentioned the fixtures. Is it better to have the fixtures against these teams now, or play what Liverpool have done against the top three teams from the end of last season?
Steve, it doesn't matter. Listen, the most important thing is getting points on the board. You can slip up against lower teams, like Burnley's a prime example for Liverpool. So listen, it doesn't matter. And as soon as you start seeing, well, the next group of fixtures are on paper, they look good, that's when you fall down. So you can never tell in the Premier League.
It is a tough one. But it's great to see your team up there, you know, and it gives them confidence, builds the confidence up for ready for the for the bigger games that come along, I think, from an Everton point of view.
Let's do look who's scoring. Who's winning this at the moment, Dave? Who's in front? 6-2 to Sharpie. What sort of scoreline is that?
6-2, you're right, mate.
Goodness
me.
I've been away.
Sure Aldo's got two?
Sharpie, I've been away.
He hasn't done it.
He needs to get to the point. Right, 5 points. This is for 5 points. Born in 1976, the timer goes on straight away now. Born in 1976, he had a brief spell with Liverpool, but played for no other English team. So born in 1976, brief spell with Liverpool, but no other English team.
Striker.
A Any guesses? Any early doors? Okay.
Four points.
Swiss striker.
What's his name?
Well, basically, if John chooses the answer, you've lost all your points. Four points. He won one trophy while at Liverpool and was previously a Champions League winner. He scored 9 goals in 45 games at the Reds.
Riedler.
Rodriguez.
Who?
Alain Riedler. No.
No.
Scored 9 goals in...
Oh, gosh, right. Let's move on. 3 points. 47 caps for his country. And he scored 27 goals. That's a pretty good ratio, isn't it? 47 caps, 27 goals. John, any ideas? Get off your Google.
No, I'm just...
He's on Google. He is on Google.
No, just look. Hey. Maxi Rodriguez. No. Just a guess.
This is getting... Okay. No guesses on that one? Right, we'll go to 2 points. He joined Valencia after leaving Liverpool.
Oh, dear me. Oh, what's his name?
2 points. Oh, come on, you can close the gap on Sharpie. What did he look like, John? Give me a description.
Long black hair and striker.
That's what I was saying. That's what I meant.
Did you say? No, it's not him.
Long black hair and a striker.
He's a striker.
Was he tall? Was he small?
He's come from Madrid, Real Madrid. Yeah,
okay,
I can't think of his
last
name.
Point. One point. Top goal scorer in the 2003-2004 Champions League top goal scorer. Come on, you need a point.
I know it is, but I can't get it. I just don't know it, but I can't think.
He's
a famous Spanish player.
If I give you a first name, the first one to shout
it out. Morientes.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
I couldn't think for the life of me. Morientes. I'm losing the plot, mate.
Oh, I hate hearing this music now.
I shouldn't have told you.
That's who I thought it was.
It's like Carl Antrella, didn't it?
Yeah, the picture of him there.
I knew when it was 3 points. Oh. I shouldn't have told me, Martin, give Sharpie one.
At least, Johnny, you only got 1 point. It's only 7-2 now.
Yeah, I'll get it back.
7-2.
Mop up him.
Look how happy he is. Like a child in a sweet shop, is Sharpie. 2 minutes past 7 o'clock. Murray calls next. It's the Radio City Legends.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6 minutes past 7 o'clock, so Sharpie extends his lead over Aldo in Look Who's Scoring. Aldo's pretty flat at the moment over the past few weeks. 7-2. It is. You should have known Fernando Morientes, I would have thought.
But I think that Portugal had too many San Miguel over the week. I think it just numbed my brain. I can't think.
A few more brain cells have gone. Boys, let's say a big looking forward ahead to the weekend. Let's hope, fingers crossed, that Liam Smith can do it for Liverpool, for Merseyside, for his family. Yeah. He's fighting Saul Canelo Alvarez at the AT&T Stadium. That is some arena. 100,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was talking to him when we done the Liverpool show, the Thursday night show, about a month or so ago. He was really excited. Hey, what can you say about the family? You know, incredible what they've achieved. Yeah. Tough, tough fight for him. He knows that. But, hey, you know, he's a worthy opponent, and you never know. Mm. You know, he gets rubber the green.
Let's
hope so, fingers crossed.
Odds are against him with the bookies, but sometimes it does happen. Yeah, I think you'd have to stay up till sort of 4, maybe 5 in the morning. Sharpie, will you be up for this one?
I'll just be coming in.
I think the best way is to tape it, get up about 8 o'clock and then don't put an Italian, then bang it on and watch it. And that's what I'll probably do.
Okay, Box Nation is what it's on. It's a Frank Warren fight. Also want to give a plug to one of our callers and an avid listener to the show as well. That's Tony Morell, who's putting on a big night with Nigel Benn, of course, former top boxer. And this is at the Halton Royal British Legion. So if you fancy going to see Nigel Benn and the likes of Darren Barker and Spencer Oliver as well, are also on that bill. So it's a bit of a Q&A. The Halton Royal British Legion, and that is Saturday the 15th of October, and we will tweet out his little poster which sort of gives a little bit more detail if you want to go to that, but it will be a fantastic night.
It puts on a good night, Tony, so it should be a good night if you're a boxing fan. Get along there.
Nigel Benn lives in Australia now, so he's having to fly right around the world to go to the Halton British Legion.
I think he'll get his eyes opened. I think he'll have his eyes opened.
Won't he just? Let's get back to the phone lines. And 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, it's the Radio City Legends, and let's talk with Peter, who's in Greasby. How are you, Peter?
Hello, I'm fine.
Okay, well, the boys are here. What do you want to talk about?
All it is I'd like to talk about Stekelenburg. We're all going on about Barry and how well he's doing and all that. I'm just thinking about keeper-wise. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tim Howard's done well. and all that through the years, but Stekelenburg, to me, is he's collecting everything. He's commanding that box. I love it.
Peter says, because I think when he bought him, I think everybody looked at it and thought, well, I'm not too sure. He's getting on a little bit. Is he good enough kind of thing? And I think a lot of people thought he'd come in as maybe a number two and he'd go out and buy another goalkeeper in the transfer window. But as you said quite rightly, he's come in, he hasn't put a foot wrong, he's looked assured, and he's a number one goalkeeper at this moment in time. Robles is on the bench. So obviously the manager's worked with him before and knows all about him. And he was under no illusions that he could go in and do a job. And up to now, he's looked assured.
Yeah, that's to say. I mean, I can't moan at anything like that. I mean, we started the season so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't really moan much about that either. But, I mean, I love the way of Williams. I mean, we may look at Williams and Jagielka, and we lost Stones, but Williams and Jagielka, two experienced defenders who are both doing the same thing for us.
Yeah. Well, just, Peter, you're spot on. When you look, you know, at the defence and it looks more solid, you know, it looks like, you know, two old-fashioned English defenders, if you like. You know, they'd go and head it and kick it. Obviously, we had Stonesy, who was a different sort of player. But I think the manager has maybe gone back to the little Moyes situation where he had to make sure his back four were solid and dependable. And I think the signing of Ashley Williams has added that strength and solidity in the centre defence.
Do you think Stekelenburg, just going back to that, do you think he knew in any way that he was going to be first choice?
No, I don't think so. No? He was a free transfer, wasn't he? So I think the manager knows him. He's obviously, he knows all about his capabilities and he's brought him in. But it shows you how much that the manager thinks of him, that the possibility to sign Joe Hart didn't happen and he had faith in Stekelenburg. So listen, John will tell you, as players, when your manager has faith in you, you know, you go that little bit extra for him, and up to now, Stekelenburg has done that.
Well, it's very experienced, isn't it, when you've got, like, you know, the two centre-halves, Jagielka and Williams in front of him, you know, and he's experienced himself. You know, you get the right balance with youthfulness, full-back areas and in front of him, you know, works the truth.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Peter. Thanks for your call. Let's stick with the Wirral, and we've got Chris, who's a Tranmere fan, who wants to talk about refs. Evening, Chris.
Evening, how you doing?
Hello, Chris.
Yeah, it was just off the back of Gary Cahill complaining that referees are killing the game in the Premiership.
Mm.
This is going to sound a bit like a Yorkshireman sketch here, but he doesn't even know he's born. If he sees the quality of the refereeing which is going on in the lower leagues, and particularly in the non-league, it's atrocious. My school teachers were better referees than half of that lot.
Do you know what? That's a great call, isn't it? You know me and Sharpie? Oh, per hey, they're easy meet at times, referees, but, you know, when we've done the commentaries over the years for City, you've seen some things, you know, you just can't believe it. As I said, there's one at the weekend, the referee's only 5 yards away, blatant handball, edge of the box, and he didn't. I don't know. I just don't know
Chris, do you think it's, and this has always been our slant on it, do you think they know the game?
You see, I think they do, but one of my biggest concerns is the fact that it's the quality. They try and get referees fast-tracked into the football leagues. And obviously they cover different games here and there. But I think it's more experience than anything. I just find that some of the decisions they make, an experienced referee would stand back and go, well, hang on, we should play on there. No, that probably was a handball. But we tend to get the newer referees in the lower league, and they just don't seem to have a backbone, to be honest.
Well, do you remember, there was always a lot of talk, you know, going back like 10, 15, 20 years ago, about fast-tracking ex-players, which, because they know the game, they've seen it, they've been there, seen it, done it, their experience with the game and the pace of the game, and they wouldn't fast-track them. There was only one, Baines, remember Baines? Yorkshire lad,
yes,
the player.
Yes, he was. Yeah,
he was quite good. You know, whenever I had him as a player or a manager at Tranmere,
he was
good referee. All right, you got things wrong, but a lot less than other referees. I was all for that. You know, okay, ex players now in the top tier, they don't have to.
No.
They don't have to. They don't need the money. But certainly players who've been in we're talking about the lower leagues. You know what I mean? Even at the Vauxhall Conference, whatever it's called now. You know. they should be fast-tracked. I really do believe that, you know. Most of the referees are ex-policemen, ex-teachers and so forth, and that from that sort
academics,
of...
Academics, aren't they, yeah?
Yeah, that sort of background. You know, and we've always said that.
You're spot on, but I'm just saying as well, Chris, you look at them and you see the lower league and you've seen, and I've been in Welsh football and seen them there as well. Some of the things that players can get away with, like scandalous in the lower leagues, it's scandalous. You know, jailable offences half the time. They don't even get a yellow card.
Just recently,
you go back to a few years ago when Ian Hume was elbowed on the pitch.
Yeah.
And if that was on the street, that would, regardless of whether it was mental or not, that would have been a arrestable offence. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of just handed as though, well, the referee dealt with it at the time. And that's not on. That was on TV as well.
Is there something season that's really bothered you, Chris, refereeing-wise?
It's not got better. It's not got better, Chris. It's got worse again.
It's got worse. I think in particular, I didn't go to see the Tram New York City game the other day, but Gary Bradman's said it was basically a pantomime.
I read his quotes, about the New York City players, wasn't he?
Yeah, a lot of play acting, and they've seen it time and time again at Rovers. And John, you'll know what it's like with Rovers players. They tend not to play acting; they just get on with it. And it's frustrating because I hate gamesmanship in football, and it's blatant happening in the lower leagues. The one which has really riled me was Lincoln City when it was in a completely blatant handball in the penalty area. The guy could have been playing basketball. It was that obvious. From where I was sat, you could see it was palmed out and the ball went up. It wasn't even ball to hand.
I don't want to put a dampener on it, but it's not going to get any better, I'm afraid.
I know it's not. Yeah. I know it's not. One thing I did spot, because I occasionally sit in the main stand, is the viewing. You get a good view of the game from there. And they've tried to bring in extra referees or extra assistants in the past in the Euros. And I feel as though from that position you get a better view of the game, and communication with the ref is quite simple these days, so maybe a fifth official up in the stands to actually have a...
Chris, you're going down the right direction, because we've said all along, you know, you have a fourth official at the Premier League games and everything else who sit and basically tell managers off for going a step outside the box. What else do they do? They make sure they substitute and they hold up the board for the extra time and all that. You're not telling me, with the money that's in football now, especially at the top level, that they can't be sitting watching a monitor that can assist the referee for anything dodgy or whatever is contentious. Go to him. This thing about officials behind the goals and all that nonsense, that's rubbish.
Yeah.
They're as bad as what the ones that are officiating in the game. They don't do anything.
Well, if you want a job in life, that's your job you should get, because they get paid for doing nothing. But Sharpie's right, and it would help the referees, because there are times, when the game's flowing and you make a decision, you go with the referee. But when it's the ball is dead, it's out of play or in the back of the net, you know, you could take the same amount of time as making a substitution to making a huge decision whether it's a goal or not, whether it's a sending off or not, and it will help the referees. But for whatever reason, they won't do it.
No. Are the referees any worse this year than they were last year?
Probably the same.
It's much more emotional, isn't it?
I'll say it again. We haven't witnessed any more incidents of pulling in the penalty area for blatant fouling since, who was it? Was it Mike Dean? That gave two penalties or something, gave penalties for pulling and grappling in the box.
Yeah.
Since he's done that, there's not been any more incidents.
What they're actually doing now, I noticed, when he made the big complete mess of it for the Liverpool game in the Tottenham one, when he stopped them,
Matip who was getting brawled by Vertonghen, wasn't it?
Yeah, please don't do that. But they're doing it when they're doing it now before the ball is kicked, they're stopping it. Before the ball can say, it's going to be a penalty if you carry on. They're doing it that way now. And they're actually, not when the ball's been kicked, but actually before it's been kicked. So they're trying to get around to somewhere for them.
Really good point, Chris. Thank you very much indeed for your call.
Thank you, George.
Cheers.
There we go. 18 minutes past 7 o'clock, Radio City. And this is The Legends, 0151 4720967. I think it's still 0-0. It is, 59 minutes. Feyenoord 0, Manchester United 0. He was complaining, Mourinho, wasn't he, that they were in this competition. He said this wasn't what we wanted to be in, and it will affect our Premier League chances.
But he's left Rooney at home, hasn't he? He's left Rooney at home, and another couple of players he's left at home.
He's got a squad big enough to cope with it. Of course he has. You know, it doesn't get meaty till you get the last 16, the quarter finals, and if he gets there, he'll want to win it. But he'll moan until then.
What about Liverpool tomorrow night? They take on Chelsea and Diego Costa. How do you deal with Diego Costa and everything that
day,
sort of comes with it?
In our day, he wouldn't have a chance in hell. You know, he wouldn't, you know, because of the cameras, you know, and he'd be well sorted.
Is there a comparison from your day? Is there someone who had that?
No, there was a lot of players, you know, like me and Sharpie. Yeah. We could look after ourselves, you know, but the centre halves, they always had a free willie, didn't they, before they even got a yellow card. But in today's game, and Sharpie go on about what Gareth Barry did to him the other week. But if I was in the centre half, I'd be in his ear, I'd be pinching him or whatever. I'd try to get him sent off, of course I would.
He got sent off at Goodison last year, I think it was. And you could see it coming. I remember sitting watching the game with Graham Stewart, and he got booked. And they just said, "Watch this." Graham Stewart said, "Watch this. I'll guarantee you he's getting sent off." And 10-15 minutes later, you know, Gareth Barry's played a tune, bang, sent off. So he's competitive when he's playing for your team and he's up for it. He's excellent. But when it's not going his way, he's likely to get sent off.
Well, he should have got sent off a couple of times against Liverpool. He's got away with it on a couple of occasions. See what happens tomorrow, but certainly he can be a top player.
He did well the other night in the game. I'm just seeing what was the game he played the other night, and he played really, really well in it. He was up for it. He was up front.
The Swansea game. Swansea. The 2-2. Yeah.
He was up front in his own, and you know he was battling and you know putting himself about, and he was good. It was a really good performance. Lets himself down with somebody's diving and all that kind of thing. Yeah. That's not the part we want to see. But when he's on his game, he's like a handful.
Well, the manager's rejuvenated him. And Eden Hazard as well, who last season was useless. Yeah. But
last year, to be fair to Hazard, and I know from directness, you know, the manager treated him like a piece of dirt, you know, Mourinho, and you know, he, the lad didn't want to play for him. You look at him now, the end of the season, how good was he at Anfield that game? Unmarkable. And on his day, he is, you know. If Liverpool can keep them two, you know, fairly quiet tomorrow, then we'll have a chance of winning the game. But you'd take a point at Stamford Bridge. Of course you would. But Klopp will go there and he'll try to win the game. That's his philosophy.
So you're thinking score draw? Because both teams.
I think it'll be a score draw, mate. Yeah.
Both teams are likely to concede. Everton, of course, 5:30 on Saturday. Middlesbrough.
5:30. Yeah. All the best, Sharpie.
Oh, yeah, shocker. At home, you're expected to win the home games. Yeah. They're on their own at the moment. They'll be confident. Middlesbrough got a few injury problems as well. But listen. Can't take it for granted. You've got to turn up and you've got to play, and he'll be stressing to the players. You know, this will be a tough game for us, so they need to step up.
A banana skin, isn't it? Because they can be a good side, but I fully expect Everton to win personally, but you know, you don't take it for granted, do you, Sean?
I think Rhodes is an injury problem, and I think the boy Stuani's an injury doubt for them. But there's a young boy, Forshaw, who was at Everton, who's a good football and midfield player, so they'll play good football. Crank has got them, you know, well drilled, and it's not going to be easy. But I think Everton, you know, with the form they're in, should win their full of confidence.
The table's looking nice, isn't it? All Evertonians are looking
great.
At that table and thinking, wow.
Well, listen, we all know it's early, but you've
got to be in there, haven't you?
Of course you have. You know, the thing, the most important thing, you look at Leicester last year, what did they keep keep stressing? We got to get to 40 points. Yeah. And they got to it very, very earlier than everybody expected. And then everything was a bonus after that. So Everton...
But they grew in confidence,
Sharpie,
didn't they?
Yeah, of course they did. It's a
board game.
It's a thing.
Everton now will be a cock-a-hoop. Yeah. To look at Middlesbrough and then, I think it's Bournemouth away after that or something. Yeah. To look, you know, take every game as it comes, but, you know, you're on a nice little run there, keep it going, and then when the big teams do arrive, then they'll be up to this.
The ambitions might slightly be rising, mightn't they? Even at this early stage.
Well, I've said all along, and when Martinez was a manager as well, Everton have got to strive every year for European football. Just to build up the name and the tradition and everything else, and get them competing in European football regular. You know, it's two stop start in 1 year, out for three, in the next year out for two. They need to be regularly competing for a European place year in, year out. And until they do that, you know, their status will rise. You know, and then players will become attracted. Yeah, we want to come and play, and we've got Europe to look forward to. And hopefully under this manager that will happen. But certainly, it's a good start to season. Points on the board, but still plenty to get from now.
Boys, thank you very much indeed. Liverpool squad have travelled down there today for Chelsea. Did you know, Sharp, we've got a new stand at Anfield?
No, have you?
We're not mentioning it in this show.
Sharpie, I can arrange you to come and have a look around with me, you know, if you want.
Only if the toilets are working.
That's a bit below the belt, isn't it? Boys, thank you very much indeed, Sharpie and Ollie. They'll be back next week, of course. The Radio City Legends returns on Monday night at 6:30. Join me, if you will, for the kickoff on Radio City Talk tomorrow morning. That's between 7 and 11 with a whole of great guests. See you then.